Good morning, FBCS. Let's all stand. We're going to worship God this morning. We got a new song. Closer and closer we draw near to Him. He is our strength, our riches, our foundation. There is no life without Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. There is no life without You. Amen. And You have all that we need. Yes. Where You are, every fear is broken. And the darkness must flee. Here we go, closer. Closer and closer, we want to know You. Reaching out, and hearing Your presence. We want to go deeper in Your light. Yeah. Come alive. Yeah. There is no one. There is no pray, and all God's people say, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Welcome to FBCS. My name is Andy, worship leader here at FBCS. We have a few announcements for you. If you want to take out your handy dandy, I was going to say a notebook, but it's actually a bulletin. The first up, you can read along with me. We got our VBS. Those interested in VBS, volunteers are needed on a daily basis, right? VBS is one of the really powerful ways we connect with the community around us, we connect with the children, we connect with the families of the children, and is a way to share the life and wonderful things and miracles that God has done in our lives. So if you'd like to sign up, it's right outside, to your right, out the middle doors. And the dates are there listed, July 11th to the 15th. Just so you know, there is a week off. No activities are coming up. However, choir is still going on, okay? 6:30, we began that last week. I had a total of 20, filled the seats. Praise the Lord. Again, if you're still interested in joining choir, we started off great. I'm excited for the season to come. Wednesday, 6:30 to 7:30. You can ask anybody who is there. It's going to be great. Also, if you're interested in the worship team, please contact me. Contact the office. Lots of information. Great opportunities to be up here and worshiping with us. Costa Rica, again, 100% funded. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. There are some shirts still for sale to still support those who are going. As much money is needed to go to these things, a great opportunity. Again, it's in your bulletin if you have any more information. There's a connection luncheon coming up. Please keep an eye out for that. And then if you want to keep up with the Becks, last Sunday was his last Sunday, you can go down to the blog and a website information. We also want to mention FBCSU University. Again, it's there in your bulletin. Opportunities for activities, fun and games. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue in worship this morning. I know that's a lot of information, but as we continue to worship, let's just have a moment of peace, a moment of silence. And I want to share a verse that came to my heart this morning. Scripture says, do not be anxious in any one thing, but in all things, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will be given to you. Every morning I pray for that peace, because every morning we get caught up in the world around us, and every morning we get caught up in everyday interactions, but it is in these moments like today, that we can just be in the presence of God and who He truly is. And we're going to sing of that this morning. Let's just stand. Lord, we come to you. We give you the praise and honor. We call upon you. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Tune our hearts to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudness. Teach me some melodious song sung by flaming tongues above. Here's our heart, Lord, lay your hand. Amen. Hitherto. Let thy goodness last. And I will serve you. Amen. I'll give you everything.
Everything.
And I will lift up.
My eyes to your throne.
And I will trust you.
Lord,
I will trust you alone. We give you the glory, Lord. And I will give you all. I will give just the voices. I will give, oh, and I will give you all my worship, and I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise. Amen. Amen. Lord, we come to you, give you the praise, the honor again, God. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord our God, God of wonders beyond our galaxy. He is holy, you are holy. Holy, the universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. You are Lord of heaven and earth. Amen. Morning, and I will celebrate your night. Amen. Oh, when I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night. God of wonders, God of wonders beyond our galaxy. He is holy. You are holy. Declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. You are Lord of heaven and earth.
Lord of heaven and earth.
Lord of heaven and earth.
Amen.
We worship you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
To the Lord of heaven and earth. This morning, we declare from our hearts, God of wonders,
God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy,
God,
the universe, Lord. The universe declares your name. Precious Lord, reveal your heart to me. Father, holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. God, forgive me, God, for failing to put you at the center of my life. This morning, Lord, we bow our hearts. We've declared to you, God, how holy you are. There are times, God, where as Christians, we may not lie when we speak, but God, we sure lie when we sing. Because we fail to grasp the concept of what it is our hearts are calling out to you. And Lord, this morning, I pray as we go into a time of offering and greeting and message, Lord, that we bask in the ambiance of who you truly are to us, God. That it not just be an everyday act, God, but that we live it out to the fullest extent, Lord, 24/7. 7 days a week, we are called to be like you. We give you the praise and honor, glory. God, we welcome you this morning. And all God's people say, amen. You may be seated.
Do you ever wake up in the morning and your morning just can't go right? The scattered chuckles tell me that some of you have had mornings much like my morning where something about it just nothing meshes right, right? The morning where you wake up and you remember, thank God he's in charge. Because mornings like this morning prove to me that if I was in charge, y'all would be in trouble. And so as we approach offering, that's really been my spirit for this morning, is to come to a place where we go, God's in charge. And I'm not just going to say that with my mouth. I'm going to say it with my pocketbook. I'm going to say it with my actions. I'm going to say it with how I spend my time and energy. And so as we approach offering, let's thank God that he's in charge. That he can take times where maybe our finances as a church or in your own home aren't great and take whatever he has given and turn it into something brilliant. Let's take this moment as an offering of worship, telling God that he's got this, that he's in charge, that he can do better with what we have than we can. We used to say in my youth group in California, does God need our money? And all the students would yell and they'd say, no, because he doesn't. He can do it without our money. And then we'd say, then why do we give? And they would say, to practice giving. Essentially, it's our way of saying, God, you're in charge. I give you everything I have. So right now, as we move into this time, reflect, allow this to be a moment where as we get ready for this service, we just say, God, you're in charge. Let's pray. God, I thank you that I'm not in charge. I thank you that Andy's not in charge. I thank you that Joel's not in charge. I thank you that the elders aren't in charge. I thank you that you're in charge. I thank you that you can do more with what we have than we ever could. I thank you that you are already working ahead of us to do incredible things. I thank you that you have a bigger desire for us than we can even fathom. So God, today, hear our act of worship where we just say, you're in charge. You're the king. And God, take this as a moment of giving back to you what is already yours. God, I ask that you bless the gift, and I ask for blessings on the giver as well. In your name we pray. Amen. If you haven't signed up to help with VBS, we will find you. So you should just sign up now so that we don't have to come to your house and bug you. But in all seriousness, VBS is one of the most incredible weeks here on campus because last year we had 70 kids. We're aiming for 100 this year coming to hear about God's goodness. And this year we're doing something especially fun where throughout the summer the kids are talking about Moses and his relationship with Egypt. And then we're going to move and talk about Joseph and his relationship with Egypt. So we're going to learn that Egypt is both good and terrible all at the same time. So really, really, it's going to be a lot of fun. You get to wear cool things. We won't make you wear cool things, but you get to. And you get to color and play games. So please, please, please sign up. It's a great week. If you need more information, talk to Katie or stop at the table outside. Now that we've been able to give God what is God's and we've been able to slow down enough to say, God, you're in charge, I say we stand up and we greet some people. So right now, wherever you're at, stand up and go love someone across the room or down the aisle. All right, before we get too far into things, if you're in third through fifth grade, Club 3-5 is heading out the door over there. If you don't know what that is, blah, blah. That was good. That was a good way to start. If you don't know what that is, if you're a third through fifth grader, it's your chance to go learn the same message, but in a way that maybe fits your needs a little bit. So they're going to head out that way now. Bye, third through fifth graders. Bye. You rock. Bye. Bye. One of them's almost in junior high, and I get them starting next week. That's exciting. Good morning. How are you? I'm okay. Thanks for asking. I don't know that that usually gets asked back. That was weird. Should do that to boss next week and just drive him crazy. That's good. I'm Kelsey. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and I'm super excited to be here with you this morning, not only because I get to preach, but because we get to preach on this book called Colossians. And so we've been walking through this book for the last several weeks, and we are now hitting the part in Colossians that I like to call kind of his preaching or his exhortation. Which means for the first few weeks, we've been talking about his greeting and his main idea. There's a section on Thanksgiving in the book of Colossians. And now we're getting into the part where he's like, all right, now I'm going to directly deal with some things. It's never a good thing. Never, ever, ever. So some of you today, you're going to be like, ooh, this is fun. We're talking about real flesh and bones kind of things. Some of you are going to be like, I can't believe Kelsey just said that from the stage. We don't want to hear that. So I apologize somewhat, except it's in the Bible, so I can't apologize fully. So are you ready? Yes. All right. There was a little bit of excitement. That works for me. Let's start by just going to God and just giving God this morning. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that you are a big God, a God who can take rough mornings and turn them into works of art, who can take our brokenness and give us new identities. God, today as we directly talk about who we represent and what we look like, I ask that your message would be clear, that you would speak to us, that you would reveal to us your heart and desire for us, and that we can come to a place of just being humble before you. God, I just thank you for today. Thank you for your love, even in the midst of the chaos. We love you, Lord. Amen. All right, so we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. So if you want to grab a Bible, I'm going to give you this little piece of please use a Bible. Not because I'm picky, but because then you're interacting with the text and you can take it home. And I did not get through the whole section last service. I know they're disappointed, but that's okay. And so I want you to be able to know where we left off and go home and do some more exploration. And I just think there's value in interacting with the text itself. If you don't own a Bible, have one of ours. They're yours to take if you really want a fancy one or something. There are bookstores. So please, please, please grab one of those. And Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, says this. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, some of you are going, okay, I thought we were getting practical. I thought we were going to put our feet to the ground a little bit. Hold on. Paul is a genius. Okay, if you guys didn't know this, Paul is a genius. Paul does this thing called the sandwich technique. I've learned it in my relationships. I love you. Your hair looks nice. Your breath really smells. Hey, are those new shoes? Some of you now are reflecting back on the things I've said to you. But Paul likes to do this too. He likes to squish the meat and potatoes and the tough stuff in between the reminders that we need to hear. And so he starts first and foremost by pointing us back to Jesus Christ. Okay, now if you were here a few weeks ago, you may remember I talked about how there were two main reasons that Paul is writing this letter to the church in Colossae. The first one was that they were struggling with hyper-spirituality. Okay, they were hyper into this, like, I don't even know how to explain it, but they wanted to be cooler than everybody else. They wanted their spirituality to be way more cool, okay? And we know this, it still exists today, but for them, they wanted to reach enlightenment. Well, in order to get there, Jesus was on the road to get there. Jesus was like at the gate taking tickets, and as long as you go through Jesus, after you get past the gate, it doesn't matter anymore. And so there was this elitism that had come into play where the church in Colossae is going, well, Jesus is just my conduit to the glory. He's just the venue that gets me to the place I need to go. He's the 5 freeway on the way to Sacramento, which is, I'm sure, where you're going when you're on the 5 freeway. So he's just the means to an end, but he's not the whole thing. And so Paul, right away, before he even gets into some deep, dark issues, he starts out by saying, hey, guess what? Jesus is the reason. Jesus is all things. If you look down there, verse 3, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ our God. He starts out right away, and he says, listen, your life is no longer your own. Everything that is in us and through us and about us points back to Jesus Christ. He's not just some stepping stone. He is the thing. So he starts out with that reminder. Why? Because now it's no longer Jesus as a conduit. Instead, he knocks that elitism, that desire to be cooler than everybody else down. And he says, listen, none of us are cool. Your kids remind you that a lot, right? None of us are cool. It's all through Jesus Christ. And so he starts there, and he starts his sandwich saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And if you've been here the last few weeks, we've talked a lot about Jesus. This book has what we call a high Christology. Focuses a lot on the fact that Jesus is the entire thing. He's not just a roadblock. And so he starts there. And he's going to open up to a bigger context as we get moving. Before we get there, though, we need to talk about the second thing that Paul is dealing with in the church of Colossae. The first one is this elitism, this idea that I can be more hyper-spiritual than someone else, that I can reach enlightenment. And once I'm in enlightenment, I'm in this own little community all by myself with these other people, but nobody else. We don't have to talk to the lowly folk. But there's a second issue, and it birthed out of this, and it's called early Gnosticism. And this idea of Gnosticism says that my spirit and my flesh are separated, right? This idea that what I do in my spirit doesn't impact what I do in my body. And so two things would happen. Either someone would go, well, if it doesn't matter what I do to my body, then I'm going to do whatever I want. And they lived lavishly. They drank until they were in a stupor, and they would go and have sexual conquests as many as they wanted, and they would do whatever they wanted. Why? Because it doesn't impact my spirituality. My spirit is still intact. I'm still in good with God, even though my body just gets to gratify whatever needs it has. It's the pleasure principle. I can do whatever I want in my body, but my spirit is going to remain intact. There was a second thing that happened, and it wasn't as common, but it was still relatively common. And if my spirit and my flesh are separated, then I want to be all spirit, so I'm going to neglect my flesh. I'm not going to feed it. I'm not going to give it water. I'm not going to allow it to have physical relationships. I'm going to withhold all things from it. So there were these two schools of thought, most likely in Colossae, based on what we're going to read here in a second. The first one was more common. Right? The first one that says, I can do whatever I want to my body because my spirit's still going to be okay. Now, we like to think that we know better than the church in Colossae, but I think a lot of us have this same mentality, right? Why? Because we like cake at 2 in the morning. And so it's not going to affect my spirit the next morning. But But the reality is this concept still lives today, and it leaves us with this conflict. You see, if I am both spirit and if I am both body, but then I know that the moment I accept Jesus Christ, that I am all spirit and all body, then how do I live with a spirit and a body? Was that way too confusing? Good, I'm speaking like Paul. This is good. Okay, but the reality is, okay, we live in the flesh. I still have to deal with the fact that I am flesh, and God did not mean for it to be separated. He meant for them to be conjoined. How do I know that? Because I go to UCYC and CIY at the end of the summer, and I come home, and I am physically exhausted and spiritually exhausted, and so I get sick every time. God intended for them to work together. When your body is sick, you need to rest in order to take care of your spirit. And when your spirit is drained and has nothing left, then you get sick. They work in tandem, and God did not intend for us to separate the two, and we can't. But then we live in the here and the now, and we say, okay, but I chose to follow Jesus. And if I follow Jesus and I live by the Holy Spirit, then how am I supposed to work as someone who has flesh? Because I have desires, like the cake. I have desires. What am I supposed to do with this conflict? And this is where the Church of Colossae is sitting. They're going, okay, I understand that I am in Christ and of Christ and everything points back to Jesus Christ, but I still live physically on earth and I hurt and I get hungry and I'm tired and I want things. So this is where Paul's meeting them in this passage, all the while pointing them back to Jesus. So this early idea of Gnosticism had begun to rip apart the threads of what they believed to be true, and they're trying to walk through, okay, what can I give my body and what can't I give my body and what is right and what is wrong? And Paul's like, no, it's not about that. A few years ago, 11 years ago, I was a junior going on my senior year, and I went to this camp called CIY. Thank you. Wake up. Okay, I went to this camp called CIY, which is where we take our high schoolers, and I went when I was in high school, and so it was the summer before my senior year, and my D group, they call them discipleship groups, we were sitting out in the lawn at Biola University, and I forgive them for not being, you know, Hope International, but that's okay. So we're sitting on this lawn, and our D group is sitting in a circle, and we're talking, and my leader looks at us, and she says, I brought this jacket. Now, it wasn't this jacket. This is my jacket, and it only came out in Target like the last 5 years, okay? But she brought a jacket. In fact, I believe it was a jean jacket. And she said, I want you to pretend that this jacket is Jesus. Naturally, I mean, it was in high school, and I went, you're crazy, right? None? Nothing. I got nothing. I'm going to just walk over here. So I thought I was just crazy. She was just crazy. And I was like, this is a jacket. This is not Jesus. But she's like, bear with me. Pretend this is Jesus. I want you to use this jacket to show me your walk with Jesus Christ. I was like, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. So I took the liberty of being the first person because I'm a goody two-shoes kid. And I was like, okay, so this jacket is Jesus. And she's like, yes. And I was like, okay. And I started. I said, when I was a kid, I admired this jacket. I thought this jacket was cool. Why? Because my parents wear this jacket. And my parents wear this jacket with poise and with dignity, and they make this jacket look so fun and easygoing and nice. They make this jacket look warm, and even when things are tough, at least the jacket is there with my parents, and so I admired the jacket. I didn't fully understand it. I was young, but I admired the jacket. Then as I got into early middle elementary school, I was like, I think I'm going to try this jacket on. So I did. One day in elementary school, I said, that's it. I'm in. I'm in with this jacket. Let's do this. So I put the jacket on, and it felt good. I felt like it was a pretty good fit for my life. Right? Yes? Yes? And so I'm wearing this jacket, and I'm in love with this jacket, and this jacket is great. And then I get to junior high, and junior high is not so great. In fact, junior high is kind of miserable. And so suddenly I'm like dealing with all these inner feelings, and I was getting bullied a little bit. And so my flesh and my spirit weren't entirely jiving. And so I wasn't necessarily content with what was going on. And I just didn't feel like the jacket was serving its purpose anymore. Jacket, where are you? But I didn't want to get rid of it, because this jacket was a symbol of who I was. So I decided I was going to wear the jacket, but not really let it wear me. And so I had the jacket. Why? Because I wanted everyone to see how cool my jacket is. My jacket's awesome. My jacket's cooler than your jacket. And I wanted people to know that I still had the jacket, but I didn't really want the jacket to impact my life. Even when things got hard, I didn't want the jacket to impact what I was thinking and feeling and doing. And then I got to high school, and at some point in high school, I went, I just don't even trust the jacket very much anymore. I know the jacket's there, but I don't trust it a whole lot. So I did what any early 2000s kid did. I went all grunge. And I had the jacket because, again, the jacket was part of who I'd always been, and so I didn't really want to mess with the fact that the jacket is part of me because it's my identity, and my family all loves the jacket, so I can't just put the jacket down, and I know the jacket's still there. I just don't necessarily trust that it's there, and I don't really want to touch it, and I don't want it to impact me, so it's just there. And I remember sitting at CIY and getting to this point, and I'm pretty sure I teared, but I pretended I didn't tear because, you know, you can't cry. Because I'd realized this jacket, which is Jesus, had always been there and wants to be worn. So you're going, what in the world does this have to do with anything? Well, good, I'm wondering too. But the reality is all of us have to interact with that jacket. Okay, all of us. Some of us wear the jacket and have worn it for years, and it fits perfectly now. You love how it fits because you and the jacket are cohesive. You're best friends. Some of you, you know the jacket's there, but you don't really want to interact with it. You don't really want to encounter it. So you let it be there, and you live your own life, and you one day may go check it out, but for now you leave it there. Well, this is what the church in Colossae was doing. They had experienced the jacket. They had all put the jacket on. They'd all worn the jacket, and it felt good at first, so good that it exploded in the Colossae area. And in the Laodicea area, it exploded rapidly, and Paul hadn't even touched this area, and yet there was so much growth. But then at some point, the jacket just couldn't fill all of the needs of the physical and the spiritual. So we get to this next section where we're dealing directly with this Gnosticism, this early version of Gnosticism. In verse 5, it says this, put to death, therefore. What is the therefore, therefore? To point us back to the fact that Jesus Christ is the reason. This jacket is the reason we're here in the first place. This jacket is the reason that we're having any conversation. So we are therefore is to remind us to Jesus. But that first little bit of word says put to death. The actual Greek says put off or take off. You're going, okay, we're supposed to put the jacket on. No, wait. Put to death or take off, therefore, what belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Now I need to give you a little bit of some Greek. I'm not going to actually give you the Greek because the NIV has translated it a little bit wonky. That first word, or first set of sins, is the sexual immorality. The actual word is fornication. Isn't that a fun word? That was a joke, no? The first word is fornication, which in biblical context means anything outside of marriage. Paul starts very direct and he jabs them right where they are and he says, hey, listen, you're fornicating. You're having relationships outside of your marriage that are sexually oriented. No, 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 no. And he points right away to those things, and he doesn't beat around the bush. He's direct. We know that in Corinth, there were issues of sexual immorality or fornication going on. We know that in Thessalonica, the same things are happening, and so Paul directly points to it because it's happening because they think if my physical and my spiritual aren't combined, then I can do whatever I want with my physical, and my spirit will be intact. And he says, no, 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 you've already missed it. Fornication. The next thing on the list is impurity, which means anything you put in your body that taints what comes out. And for a lot of us, that's a sexual thing, but it's not just a sexual thing. What kind of music or videos are you putting in, and how does that impact what's coming out? And we can say, I can watch whatever I want, and it won't impact me, but let's be real, it does. There have been studies. Then he keeps going, and the next little phraseology isn't quite clear in the NIV, but it's basically evil passions. Passions are things you desire or crave. Passions are not bad. Having a passion for the Word of God is great. Having a passion for your children to succeed is great. Having a passion for chocolate cake is mediocre. But the problem was their passions and their desires were being given to things that were not of God. And then the next thing they talk about is coveting. And here it says greed, but quite literally it means that when you want what someone else has. We all do this, right? Maybe not all of us. I do. Sometimes your cars look nice. And then the last one is idolatry. And that's anytime you put something before God. You choose them as your God. And sometimes it's very blatant, like you've chosen sports over serving God. Or sometimes it's less blatant because you've chosen your family or your significant other over God. Now, don't get me wrong, God wants you to take care of your marriages and your families, but God comes first. So what Paul does is brilliant. He starts very specific and he says, fornication is not okay. And then he starts to back up and he says, okay, but really impurity, impure thoughts are not okay. And then he backs up farther and he says, yes, but even having a desire for things that are not good are not okay. Then he backs up further and he says, wanting what someone else has is not okay. And then he backs up farther and he says, well, really, it comes down to the fact that if you put anything before God, that's your old ways. And I don't know about you, but I can say for me, I don't struggle with all the things on the list every single day, but I know I've struggled with at least one of them at any given point in my life. So what Paul does here, and he does this brilliantly, is he reminds us that all of us fall short of the glory that is in Christ Jesus. All of us. And if you want to tell me you haven't done any of these things on this list, I'll talk to your family. So right away, he starts by saying, guess what? Those things that you're struggling with, and they were struggling specifically with fornication, but more loosely with putting anything before God, even down to the point where they wanted to reach enlightenment before they really wanted to have a relationship with God. And he says, any of those things on that spectrum mean you've fallen short. And that is the way of the world. That is the jacket we used to wear. That's the jacket we were born with that tells us we need to seek after what our heart desires. That part of us that says, well, what I do in the physical doesn't impact what I do in the spiritual. That jacket is broken and messy. And because we all have one of those jackets, Paul says very clearly that God eventually has to destroy those jackets. He's just hoping that you're not in it. Verse 7. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. Did you hear that? That first few words is brilliant. You used to walk in these ways. Guys, every single one of us has a chance to pick up this jacket and wear it. And for some of you, he's looking at you, God is looking at you, and he said, you used to wear that ucky jacket, but now you wear mine. And this jacket represents Jesus Christ, and we used to wear the jacket that was our own, but now we don't. Instead, now when God looks at us, he says, I don't see your fornication. I don't see your covetousness. I don't see your idolatry. What I see is the identity of my son worn on you because you've chosen to get rid of that ucky jacket and put on the jacket that God so desperately wants for you, the jacket that is filled with good things. And he's saying, listen, Colossae, listen, FBCS, you used to struggle with those things. And yes, some of you still fall short. You used to struggle with those things, but now you don't have to because you get to wear the cool jacket. It keeps going. Verse 8. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. Guys, we don't have to wear the ucky jacket. We get the pretty jacket. Now, here's one of Paul's warnings is some of you are going, cool, I put the cool jacket on. I get the jacket where when God looks at us, he sees the identity of his son. Guys, we're wearing the identity of Jesus Christ. And yet some of you are going, okay, but I yelled at my kids. I'm not sure that I really qualify to wear that jacket. So some of you, what you do is you say, okay, I have anger and rage. Let me take off the jacket. Stop. Did you see that after we've put on the new jacket, it says, now you must also rid yourselves. It is a process. Get rid of the ucky, get rid of the jacket, get rid of the old ways, put on the new jacket and recognize that we're in the middle of a lifetime's worth of process, that God is removing the anger and the malice from us, and he's removing the lies and the gossip. He's removing the distrust and the disdain from us little bit by little bit, but we're still flesh and spirit, so we're going to struggle. Don't take the jacket off because you fell short once. Leave it on. And let him enter into you as you begin to get rid of that anger. And this next verse, verse 11, is my favorite. I say that, I don't know if that's true. I may have just lied. This is bad. Verse 11. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. You see what Paul does. I love this, and he does this in a lot of his different books, different letters. He says, hey, listen, we've all fallen short. So now there is no longer rich person versus poor person, no longer businessman versus church employee, no longer are there barriers because of our gender. No, all of us fall short. All of us have done things we should not do, and all of us have the same opportunity to put the jacket on. And some of you are going, okay, but you don't know what I've done. Well, did you see that he included barbarians in here? I don't care what you've done, but I don't. Why? Because this jacket is in the business of transforming lives. You need to take your old life off, put on the new life, and get ready. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're a barbarian, if you're a slave, or if you're free. It doesn't matter. What matters is putting the jacket on and letting him transform you from the inside. Well, it continues there. Luckily, Paul doesn't just like to keep us in a down mood. Verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with a really cool jacket. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Did you hear that? We went from anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language to compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And what I love is the word compassion is the number one used word to describe Jesus. It's actually compassion from the bowels, which sounds really gross, but it's that gut-wrenching feeling that you have to go help someone. That's the number one quality given to Jesus. Then there's humility, and humility is the number one term used for Jesus by Paul. Is his humility, his ability to say, I am not worthy, and yet I am still God. And then the other three, kindness, gentleness, and patience. Those are the three most used words to describe God in the Old Testament. Did you catch that? He's taking us from anger and malice and rage, and he's turning it into his own humility, his own compassion, his own kindness, his own goodness, his own patience. Guys, we no longer are bound by the jackets we used to wear. We now look like we look at him. We're pure and clean, and he's going to take us from anger to patience. And he's going to take us from malice to kindness. Guys, God wants to do the work in you. So I ask, are you going to let him? Or are you going to keep wearing that old jacket? For some of you, you're in this jacket and you have been reaching for that other jacket because it just makes more sense and it's way easier. Stop reaching. Let God transform you. Verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. You see, Paul does all this work to remind us that we're pretty messy. He takes us off our high horse and he says, hey, yeah, y'all have struggled. Y'all have fallen short. That anger one gets me a little bit. Sometimes I go to that instead of going to God's grace. So all of us have fallen short, whether slave or free, whether Jew or Gentile, all of us have fallen short. And because all of us have fallen short, we understand the need for Christ to clothe us in his majesty and make us clean. And once he clothes us in his majesty, we now have the chance to stand up and say, I got to work on my speaking too fast thing. Whew. We now have the opportunity to say, I'd like to clothe you too. Because all of us understand that we've been broken. And if all of us understand that we have been broken, we understand that when someone else hurts us, it's because they're broken. And they need our forgiveness just like we need God's forgiveness. We need it. I don't know about you, but I've hurt a lot of people in my life, and I need that forgiveness. And it comes out of a place where the person goes, Kelsey, I know you're a royal screw-up, but so am I. So now together we get to raise forth and be the holy community of God. No longer are we bound to anger. Instead, we are bound to forgiveness and love for one another. So I challenge us, first of all, how are you wearing the jacket? Is it around your waist? Is it over your shoulder? Have you left it in the closet? Are you wearing it? Some of you are like, yeah, I like this jacket. And then second, how are you helping someone else get their jacket on by releasing them of what they've done to you? We are a community of holiness. We are a community of God's grace. We are a community that says none of us is worthy, but Christ still loves us. And he wants to clothe you in his glory. He wants to clothe you in his kindness and his gentleness and his humility and his goodness and his patience. Let him. Right now, we're going to go into, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a sketch. And this sketch is entirely, as I read it a few weeks ago, a reflection of this idea that maybe all of us fall short, and maybe today is a day of forgiveness. Maybe today is a day where we come and we say, we're all in this together as the holy community of God. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that even though we struggle with idolatry and coveting and immorality and impurity and fornication, God, even though we struggle with those things, and even though we still fall victim to rage and malice and anger and gossip, we thank you that you love us and that you want to help clean up our flesh so that our flesh and our spirit can be entirely for you. God, you've created us with a desire to worship you. And even though we don't always wear that jacket well, God, I ask that today we will put that jacket on and we will be a kingdom for you. God, you are worthy of all of our praise. In your name we pray. Amen.
So, when is he calling?
Oh, any minute.
Nervous?
Me? Nervous? I can't believe I agreed to do this.
Really, it's going to be okay.
You want to get some ice cream?
Oh, no, you just sit down. You're not getting out of that too easy. This is a good thing that you're doing. You can't keep carrying this guilt forever.
You don't know what he did to me. You don't know how it hurt.
Yes, I do. You told me the story so many times.
Okay, so you do know. Then why are you making me do this?
I'm not making you. This was your idea. I'm just here to help you to follow through with it.
I haven't talked to him in so long. What are we going to talk about?
Hi. You screwed and destroyed my life. That's a great icebreaker, don't you think? No? Okay. Can you tell me, how did he get your number?
I told my sister she could give him my email address. So he emailed me, and I gave him my phone number.
And you did this because?
Because I can't carry this around anymore. I'm done. It's time to move on. I need to tell him that what he did hurt. But that I forgive him. And I still love him.
You still love him?
I never stopped. It's an art, really. Letting somebody go their own way and make their mistakes and loving them in spite of it.
Boy, you sound really healthy. You sound just like the self-help booklet.
Yeah, well, you remember that retreat we went to and the speaker talked about forgiveness? Now, God's been dealing with me about resolving unfinished business ever since. Carrying all this anger and bitterness is just hurting me. I'll be so much better off when I let it go. Oh, if only I believed that.
Don't you?
No, really, I do. But saying and doing are two different things. I haven't heard his voice in so long. I don't think I can handle it.
You're not the same person you were. You've grown, and he probably has too.
Yes. Yes, we've both grown. We've changed. At least I have. But him? Boy, that's difficult to picture. What if he hasn't? What if he's the same insensitive, manipulative, self-absorbed?
Oh, okay, let's calm down.
I didn't like who I was when I was with him.
Okay, so let's just say he hasn't changed. That doesn't mean you have to fall back in that same old pattern with him. You're much stronger than that.
Can we have a relationship without that pattern?
I guess you'll have to figure that one out. And you know, God will give you the strength. Hey, you want me to be around when he calls?
No, thank you. You've been terrific. But I need to face this alone.
Okay. You know I'll be praying for you. I can't wait to hear all about it.
Hello?
I wanna take this time this message, I've listened to it twice already. It's really, really reflected on my heart. So I'll take the next few, however long it is, wherever the Spirit leads, to just, let's just sit. There's a lot. Pray with God. Speak to him. Let him talk to you. Or talk to him. Or worship how you see fit. And we'll just sit here for a little bit and play in the background, then we'll continue on with worship. But I really, let's just reflect. Lord, you're good. gave me, that you, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken.
This week, if you've never put on the coat or the identity of Jesus Christ, come find me. Let's talk about it. Next week, we're doing baptisms. We'd love to even do that there. Come talk. No pressure. Just a jacket. It's Jesus. And for those of you who have put on this coat this week, I want you to reflect on if you've been reaching out for some other coat, and maybe even do what I did in high school, as weird as it may feel and sound, and figure out where you and God are. Figure out whose identity you are reflecting. May you guys have a blessed week, and we'll see you guys next week.